The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J-Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap J. Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Cap and J-Hood. Morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I'd like to remind you that Cap and I are together until 10. Then it'll be Bleck and Abdallah in for Greeny from 10 to noon. Meller will be in for Carm, so it'll be Carmen and Yurko with Meller. Waddle and Sylvie from 2 to 6. Tyler Aki and his solo show from 6 to 8 in for Bleck and Abdallah. And then it's Freddie and Fitzsimmons, 8 to midnight right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. Cap and I watched the Bulls against the Pelicans. Did you watch that game? 124 to 110 the final. As we talked about this yesterday, Cap, I said, yeah, I don't think the Bulls are going to beat the Pelicans because of how long and athletic that team is. Mm-hmm. Ingram, Valanciunas, McCollum. Jones is a really good defensive player for the Pelicans. But just from the rip, from the beginning, Cap, I watched it. I said, the Bulls won't be able to outscore this Pelicans team. Now, neither team is desirous to guard, but I'm just looking at it from the Bulls' standpoint. Cap, 110 points should be enough for you to be able to win if you have any semblance of defense. Their transition defense is a joke, the Bulls. This whole idea that you are just allow that many threes, guys are just pulling up and just knocking down threes with nobody in the area.
I could not believe the number of shots they were hitting. Now, again, that speaks to the Bulls' lack of defense. But if you look at the Pelicans from three, their ability to space the floor, move the basketball, there was no energy with the Bulls. There was no life to it. And please, someone explain to me what Io is doing on the court. I like him as a talent. You're a point guard. There's an article in the Tribune yesterday about I got to be more of a spark plug running the offense. He had one assist. One!
Yeah.
Where is sharing the basketball? And then I'm looking. Valanciunas, 2 for 3 from beyond the arc. He, plus minus, he's a plus 11. He gets 22. He gets 7 rebounds. Ingram didn't shoot the ball well. He did not, but he still gave you 16 points. Murphy? 5 of 6 from beyond the arc.
Yeah.
Ball reversal, wide open, bang. C.J. McCollum, 8 of 16 for 23 points. And these guys are playing heavy minutes. McCollum played over 37 minutes. Herb Jones gave him 10 points, 13 for Alvarado. I mean, I'm looking at the numbers and looking at their 17 of 33, 52% from beyond the arc. And then you go back to what the Bulls did. Like, if you look at New Orleans' number of assists, they had 30 assists
and the Bulls
on
had,
43 baskets.
And the Bulls had 25. That means it's my turn offense. That's what that was.
The Bulls had
25.
25 on 44 made field goals.
See, and we're going to hear from Billy Donovan in a second. So this is going to be the hallmark of Bulls basketball, apparently, Cap, what I'm about to say. The Bulls, apparently, and again, it's a team that's going to get on a run at some point. They're going to get hot. They're just off to a slow start. Look at the roster for the Bulls. Just look at it. They have to do everything with max effort to be able to win ball games. The only way they can win ball games is to try to outshoot the team. That means that Levine's got to go for 40. That means DeRozan's got to go for 40. If that's what you need to win every night, you're not a good basketball team. You're just not. You don't guard. You don't protect the three. You don't protect the basket. And so what are you good at? You're good at scoring to an extent, but this is a max effort basketball team. They have to be able to get hot at the right time, Cap, for them to be able to score. That means DeRozan or LaVine has to do that. Now, when it comes to Vooch, I got some for him as well. Vucevic was 14-10. You know, I saw Will Perdue open the box score, 14-10. He said, you know what? That's not good enough. And it's not. Not against that team. Again, the Pelicans don't guard either.
But
they have a lot of scoring, Cap.
And you did not have Zion in the lineup. He was in street clothes. He was doing his Anthony Davis impersonation. Well, it's a back-to-back. I'm not going to play. I'm going to take care of my feet and my knees. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. They didn't need him.
Second night of a back-to-back for the Pelicans.
Correct.
Second night of a back-to-back.
Emotionally taxing game on Tuesday night against Ja Morant and the Grizzlies. That's their arch rival. Second game of a back-to-back. They have more energy than you. They start the second half. The first three shots, bang, 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 all from three.
Yep.
And it went from a five-point game to a 14-point game. Thanks for coming. Have a good trip home to Chicago because you guys look awful.
We talk about young players with Fields a lot on the show. Another young player we got to keep our eyes on is Patrick Williams. Again, young man, if you're not going to score, I need double-digit rebounds, especially on the offensive glass.
Yeah, and he got hurt. He tweaked his ankle late in the game. He had, what, four rebounds?
Yeah, 5 points.
It's not good enough. It's not good enough. But you know who I hold? Again, Patrick's an adult. He's got to be better. Io is an adult. He's got to be better. You got to pass the basketball better. You got to get that role of a facilitator, at least until Lonzo Ball gets back here in January, hopefully. This falls at the feet of Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley. What did you do to improve your team? Please enlighten me.
And don't get to the deadline and say, well, we couldn't make a deal because we're hamstrung by LaVine or we don't have any assets. You got to get your guys hot so that way if there's someone off the bench you want to trade, you could do that to try to get an asset that can help you for the stretch run.
Who did they bring in? Andre Drummond, okay, he's a bench guy, he's okay. You had Tristan Thompson, this guy's an upgrade there. What else did you do? Dalen Terry, he doesn't see the floor. He was playing in the G League the other day.
He played in the G League during the daytime for the Winning City Bulls and then played against Denver the same night. He played twice
Correct.
On Sunday.
Okay. What else did you do to fix your team that gentlemen swept out of the playoffs only because Chris Middleton got hurt? What did you do to address the lack of shooting that I have screamed about for months, mm-hmm. as have you, as has Carm, as has Sylvie, as has every fan that watches every game? They need to be held to a higher standard. We demanded change from Garn Packs. We got it. What are these guys doing that's any better than Garn Packs? Garn Packs had their pop-up decent seasons.
Yeah.
With Tibbs. What are these guys doing? So you're a competent, decent team that's good enough for everybody? How do you not hold them accountable that they brought absolutely no perimeter shooting in on a team that sucks from the perimeter? That's on AK. That's on him. That's not on Billy. That's not on the players. He can only coach the roster they give him, and they can only do what their skill set allows. You knew you needed shooting, and you did nothing to bring any of it in. That's on you.
I appreciate Karnišovas and Eversley getting us out of the Garn Packs era in which you're always looking at the lottery. But now that you take it to another step, you got to keep moving. You just don't stand still. That's my whole point with the Bulls. You just don't stand still. Yes, you are not going to be a lottery team this year, but will you make the playoffs? And if you don't make the playoffs, then what did you not do? You did not bring in the scoring. You did not bring in shooting. And it's not just all on Zach LaVine. I know he secured the bag, but it's more than that, though. You've got to realize in this league that it's more than just saying we have identified LaVine and DeRozan and Vooch as our guys. Okay, then what? You just don't stand still. It's a very talented Eastern Conference. And those there's eight or nine teams that will pass up the Bulls, and they'll still be looking like they did last night. Just average or below average, especially from scoring the basketball.
Correct.
Thoughts from Billy Donovan.
We did a pretty good job contesting, but there was probably six of them that we did not, that were way too uncontested. And you know, I thought the difference in the game was, I thought the first half we turned it over way too much, but it was still only a 5-point game. And then, and that was even with their shooting, they shot it really well for the whole game. And obviously in the first half, they shot it extremely well. You know, I thought our turnovers, also we had 10 turnovers. So the 10 turnovers, their 3-point shooting was a 5-point game. And I think the way we started the third quarter to me was the disappointing part, because immediately after the first few possessions, it went from 5 to like 12. And then from that point, we were fighting, you know, an uphill battle trying to get it within single digits, which we were never able to do. So, you know, I thought, obviously they shot it well, but I also thought coming out of the third quarter was where they really got separation.
Four-time NBA champion Will Perdue, analyst at NBC Sports Chicago, talking about something's very fishy about the Bulls.
As you just pointed out, who is the agitator, the aggravator?
The disruptor.
The disruptor on this team. You know, we hear all the stories about how nice these guys are and how much they get along. That's great. I love that fact. But who's the guy in the locker room right now that is in guys' faces reminding them that this is not good enough? This is not acceptable. I understand it's early, but we're already settling into a trend that we dealt with last year, and this year was supposed to be different.
Thoughts there from Will Perdue. This and just a bow on this, Cap, this is a segment we call Sylvie Was Right. It's not sponsored, but it's a segment we call Sylvie Was Right. You ready?
Let's do it.
From TheRinger.com, they have their four or five things they look at that they've seen in the season so far. One of the questions is, will the Chicago Bulls find an answer at center? The Bulls have the sixth-ranked defense, but their starting unit has been shredded when Nikola Vucevic is on the floor. They're allowing 111.9 points per 100 possessions, about the equivalent of the NBA's 18th worst defensive rating. While Vooch isn't entirely to blame, Lonzo Ball is still sidelined with his knee issue, and both the Bulls' best players, DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, aren't stoppers. He has not elevated his play on defense like, say, Brook Lopez has for years with the Bucks. How about that? Saying Brook Lopez is a better defender than Vooch. Uh-oh.
Not good.
Second Spectrum says 17 players have defended at least 300 pick and rolls this season. None have hemorrhaged more points per play in that group than Vucevic. Horrible on the pick and roll. That's just part of the article that they have on the Bulls. It's a team thing when it comes to defense, but Vucevic, what do we say all the time? Hey, man, just get the easy points. Yeah, you got knocked down some threes, but also there's no reason why he can't elevate to 18, 19, 20 points a game just on putbacks and rebounds. 14-10 against Vucevic, against Valanciunas, is not good enough. So we're just kind of stuck right now at 6-9.
Sylvie has been probably the one voice out there that has demanded more of Vooch.
Yeah.
And when they run their offense through him, they are a better basketball team. But Sylvie is also correct that they need more from him. Absolutely need more from him. And that article bears it out. So tip of the cap to Sylvie.
Absolutely. So that is, write that down. That is Sylvie Is Right. No sponsor there for
that.
Got
that. Sylvie Is Right.
Sylvie Is Right. And by the way, kids, Orlando's next on Friday. Don't think that's easy. Think Wendell Carter Jr. is going to be ready for that game?
Yeah. How about Jalen Suggs is there, too?
Okay.
I love that kid in the draft. You remember, I said, can we trade up to get that kid, the kid from Gonzaga?
Mm-hmm.
That kid's a beast.
Banchero, Franz Wagner.
Yep.
Bol Bol. Just be careful. Oh, you know what's coming up next. Deal breakers.
We love deal
breakers. Oh, you never know what's going to happen at deal breakers. Cap and I will give you that coming up next on Chicago's Home for Sports.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. We all have to make choices in sports and in life. It could be running on third down.
You ran the same third down situation, and you ran the same play twice. You're getting paid for that.
I cannot believe the call.
Or managing finances.
This country, you've got to make the money first.
Or it could be a deal breaker.
I'm Doug Llewellyn, and this is the case of the unmistakable. It's not the same.
Wrong one.
It's not Doug Llewellyn.
Not Doug.
Not the People's Court.
It's the old. people's court, not the Doug Llewellyn.
It's not okay. Well, and nonetheless, we do have deal breakers. We do every Thursday at 8:35.
I love this segment.
Because you never know what's going to be said. We're not privy to the deal breakers. Do we agree or disagree? Is it a deal breaker or not? Here's Jake Cantu.
How are you guys doing this morning?
We're good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Oh, I'm so excited. Okay. My first deal breakers.
Okay. Is it going to be as good as Shay? Because it's always something about smashing on the avocados or something like that. Do you have a girl, you smash her on the avocados, and you bend her up? Okay, Shay, we don't. You're getting too blue. What's the matter with smashing on the avocados? Right. So that's the thing. So let's see if this is going to be G-rated.
All right, let's start out with this one then. You meet up.
Shay to stick to getting his teeth pulled today.
Oh,
go right ahead, Jake.
You meet up with an old career mentor. You speak to a few times a year for lunch, right?
Mm-hmm.
He arrives to the restaurant after you, right? And his pants are so tight, you can see the entire outline of his package. Do you tell him or just ignore it?
Is it a deal breaker? You know, it's a mentor, Cap, so that mentor, could that be a younger mentor? Older guy? Is it a woman, by the way?
A man.
Oh, it's a man, okay.
No camel toe.
Don't look like that, Randy. We have to ask. What'd you say, Cap? Cap!
You asked if it was a woman. I said, so he said no. I said, okay, so no camel toe.
Oh, God.
What? That's a thing.
Camels?
Toes.
Camel toes.
Go ahead. Don't say it anymore. All right. Let's move on now. That isn't a deal breaker.
With Lululemon. Go ahead.
Is it a deal breaker? What would you say?
Read it again.
No. Weren't you listening the first time?
I was, and now I'm sidetracked by camel toes.
Your mentor has a tight package. Do you look at it or ignore it?
Is it a deal breaker?
Like, if it's so obscene, I would say something. Hey, man. I don't know. Maybe the lights weren't working in the room today when you got dressed.
Uh-huh.
You can't go out like that.
Hey, man, cover that.
Go to the Lululemon store of war. Go get yourself some joggers. You got to change.
It would not be a deal breaker for me, Jake, because I can make a joke out of it. Something like, hey, man, is that weapon licensed? Hey, careful there. Something like that, right?
It would depend where we're headed. Like, he's going to do a presentation in front of his company. Dude, you can't outdo that. You can't.
I would say something. It's a mentor, so it's almost like a friend.
Yeah.
All right, Jake, go ahead.
All right, your best man breaks up with his wife 2 months before the wedding and starts seeing a new woman 2 weeks before the wedding. Before even finalizing the divorce, the new relationship has him bailing on activities leading up to the wedding. And the week of, he says he wants to bring the new girl as his plus one. Do you let her come or no?
And it's my best man?
Best man.
Yes, I let him bring the plus one. So what? What's the big deal? Now, if you told me that his ex is also going to be there and it could cause a scene,
mm-hmm. Dude, it'd be best if you left her at home.
Mm-hmm. But if the ex-wife's not coming and it's my best friend and that's his girlfriend, bring your plus one.
But Jake, they're still married, right? It's the divorce is not final.
Not finalized. Divorce not finalized.
Well, that could go on for years. Trust me.
It's not a deal breaker. There is a conversation to be had, though, right? You're going to bring her? Yeah, we're getting divorced anyway. She doesn't want to, your ex or soon-to-be ex doesn't want to come to the wedding? Nah, she's not interested. All right.
Well, if she's your soon-to-be ex, you're not bringing your ex to be on a date with you to a wedding.
Oh, that's happened. Come on now. Randy?
If it's family.
Are you listening to the show? Does this matter to you?
What's Cochran talking?
I know it's not,
he's on LS now. Yeah.
I know it's not balls and strikes, but we do want to ask you, Randy. Like, you have seen the situation where you know a couple's breaking up, but the guy brings the soon-to-be ex-wife anyway. Because of...
And they've already filed for divorce?
Because of, you know, because they're in front of people. For bread and circuses. This is why they would do that. You've
seen
that.
Are you saying because it costs so much money per plate, don't come?
Well, I mean, you're bringing a girlfriend that's not your wife. Now, again...
So what?
I don't have a problem with it. It's your best man, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now, if you told me I'm going to bring my girlfriend, I'm leaving the wife at home, send the invitation to the office, and it was on the sly.
Yeah.
No, you're not doing that.
Yeah.
No. Now, but they've separated and they're going through the divorce. Yeah, that happens every day.
Hey, but he's like bailing on activities beforehand. Like, he's not hanging out with you.
Little conversation.
Yes.
Buddy?
Yes.
I love you. I asked you to be my best man. You got to be more engaged. That's communication.
Yeah, I would say so.
It's called clearing. If I have an issue with Jonathan, because I love him, he's my partner, I would say, Hoodie, can I have 5 minutes? Yeah. I need to clear with you.
Yeah.
I've got an issue. You did this, and here's how it's making me feel. I'm not putting it on you. I'm simply addressing it, and we clear.
Jake, is that a problem, do you think? It's a girlfriend. It's not his wife. They're breaking up anyway. Yes, you want your best man to be part of the activities, but still, do you think that's a problem?
I think it's a distraction at my wedding.
What do the other bridesmaids think, Cap?
I don't care what the other bridesmaids think. If they filed for divorce and they are separated.
They're splitting anyway.
Again, if you told, hey, I picked this girl up at the bar like a month ago.
She's coming to the wedding.
On the sly, I'm bringing her to the wedding. Just don't let my wife. That's different.
Mm-hmm. It's nothing wrong with, hey, by the way, when you have a wedding, it doesn't matter. You have a little spice in it. At least you have a story, right? Jake, there's a story there. Remember when we got married and so-and-so was getting a divorce and he brought this woman from a bar, from the lounge?
Right.
To be in the wedding? I mean,
it's different.
Yeah, I have no problem.
Is she hot?
Well, that's usually Cap's.
Smoking. What else you got, quick?
We got to get it coming up next because, you know, Danny's got money to put in your pocket.
Yes, he does.
So he's going to put money in your pocket in 1 minute, and we'll have more deal breakers on the other side. It's Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
Miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks for keeping the conversation going and watching our show live every morning, brought to you by DraftKings. So, Cap, you know the lightning rod of conversation has been Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not even the Bears. It's not even about Brisker and Gordon because they're kids, too. It's not about Braxton Jones. It's about Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to know, is he going to be the guy? Is he going to be the guy, right?
Yep.
I like the attention. I like it. I'd rather have that as a conversation piece than, boy, the Bears are terrible, or the Bears being out of the news. We've seen that so often where you and I are talking about the Bears, but nationally, not even a story. But Justin Fields is a story because he's hot and what's next and what's new. There are those that support him and believe that, boy, if he just has the talent around him, meaning better wide receivers, a better offensive line, and more experienced coaching from Getsy and Eberflus. As they grow, Justin should grow. There are some that believe that that is going to be the case for the Bears 2023-2024, where they should be able to be a contender, a playoff team, growing. Then there's those like Shady McCoy, LeSean McCoy, longtime running back, working now for an FS1. He is not necessarily sold on Justin Fields and his future. Listen.
I don't want to say I'm hating, but I got to be honest.
You're hating.
The problem with this team is, I'm being serious, the problem with this team is they can run the ball well. They have some pretty good running backs, right? Mm-hmm. Montgomery is a baller,
I like Montgomery.
Right? Herbert's a baller, too. They all can run the ball. The problem is when you stop these guys and they can't run the ball and you make him throw, that's the issue. Because now,
have anybody to throw to.
1 second. Now, all the play action, taking these shots deep or the zone fakes with the tight end selling back. You know, everybody does that little play. You sell the run and the tight end's wide open.
Leak play, baby.
You can't do that when you can't run the ball. So when they can't run the ball, he looks like, you know, picks 1-6 in 7 games. That's what he looks like when they can't run the ball. Everybody says, oh, man, get him some weapons. But I'm thinking as a wide receiver, if I'm Mooney, right, or if I'm Claypool, I'm like, well, what about us? Why can't they say, get us a quarterback?
No, but you don't think either of them are number one receivers.
But
Claypool just got there, too.
It's not about this. It's about, like, y'all telling us every time we look at TV, give Justin Fields some weapons. And we're weapons. And it's like, well, wait, we can catch. We can run routes. He can't throw. Get us a quarterback.
I don't think that either of those guys
will be
are
offended.
Bad. I don't think that either of them are bad. But they're not number one receivers on
any league. And I don't think he's a number one quarterback. My thing is, so if I'm a wide receiver and I'm supposed to be these weapons.
So why would you want to go play with him?
What top wide receiver would go play with Justin Fields? You have to pay him like every dollar you have in the whole franchise. Okay, Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp. Let's name a couple guys.
Devontae Adams.
They don't want to go play with Justin Fields.
I don't need him to.
What I'm saying is, for you to be a skilled position, let's say a top guy in college. Now, he'll love to be drafted because he's going to the NFL, but it's not all hype to go play with Justin Fields. He can't throw. He can't throw. I want to go play with a quarterback that can throw the ball. So the same way that y'all saying that, oh, give him some help, the wide receiver's like, we need help. We need a guy that can throw me the ball. That's the truth of it.
Thoughts from Shady McCoy. You also heard Joy Taylor there from Speak for Yourself on FS1. Every time I hear that, I hear something different, Cap. Like, I hear the same thing, but I hear something new. Like, whoever else was on that panel is like, oh, the Bears don't need to draft. They don't need to get a wide receiver. They can just draft one. Like, what are these comments coming from? I mean, just if you're going to talk about a topic, have, I don't know, some research. Find out what's actually needed on this football team.
Correct.
I heard that. I don't know who that was because the prevailing voice on there was LeSean McCoy. So when you first heard that, what was your initial reaction?
When I first heard that, you sent it to me. I don't know. It was like 4:30 this morning. Yes. I'm like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Play it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm listening to it. This got to be a joke. He can't possibly be serious.
Mm-hmm.
There is no analyst other than him that I've heard that has not admitted. Wow. Even Mike Martz.
Yep.
Kid's really developing. Dan Orlovsky. He's in a horrible situation, but he's got the skills. He's going to be a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone at ESPN. Rex Ryan. That kid's the most exciting thing to come into the league. We got to get Rex on. I would love to talk football with Rex Ryan. He talked a lot about Justin, how you defend him, how you handle him, and how he's an emerging player. And then Shady McCoy. What'd you do, play without a helmet, dude? I mean...
Randy, the Hartford Hotel, please. Mr. Ryan, Rex, could you do that?
Right. Double tree in Bristol, buddy.
Go ahead. Ryan, Rex, please. Dial him up. Put him on.
Come on, Randy. Randy. Get him on.
I'm on it.
All right, there we go. So, I mean, I heard that, Cap, and I just thought, wait a minute now. You mean to tell me, now this gets into the bloodstream for some sports fans, right, when they hear that, mm-hmm. especially our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that because Justin Fields is so dynamic and because at this point in time he is running with the football, a running quarterback, that other wide receivers that are available will say, well, I'm never going to get the ball, so I won't play here. Don't start that crap now. Don't start that where now you can't get top-notch free agents because Justin Fields is dynamic running the football as a quarterback.
Yeah, that's just silly.
But I mean, he put it out there, though.
He did.
Well, he said, what top-flight wide receiver want to come here? Don't start that nonsense. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, that's just stupid. That's just a dumb, uninformed take. It's like, yeah, I watched the San Francisco game. I'm out. Kid can't play. Have you watched the last month? Have you turned on any TV with any analyst of note? They're all on board.
Yes. Now, for perspective, as I say very often on this show, Justin Fields is a developing quarterback. He's not the best quarterback in the National Football League. He's not in the top 10 at this point in time, not even the top 15, because to be a complete package as a quarterback, Cap, it's not just him running with the football. It's also the ability for him to be able to make others better. He can't do that necessarily with this roster. And here's the evidence. Cap laid it out for you earlier. Like drop passes, and you're going to get that in the NFL. I get that, but you see, have inferior talent. When the Bears are good, there won't be a St. Brown here.
No,
there won't be a Pettis here.
No,
there won't be a Harry here.
No,
hi football Harry. Like Harry's not going to be here.
Claypool will be lucky to be here.
Don't think he'll be here either, despite what they did to get him here.
Correct. They're going to give him every chance, but
stop.
Right now, I'm like, uh oh. Give up a high second-round pick for that guy?
I mean, if he becomes a slot guy or someone that you think you could depend on as a third receiver, that's fine. But you need to have as much, as close to elite as possible. Justin Fields, and this is what I've been talking about a lot, Cap, you can't just crown him and just say he's the guy as far as one of the best in the NFL. He's got to grow into it like any other young quarterback. So this is what I was telling you about a couple days ago. Guys like LeSean McCoy has already planted his flag and said that this guy can't throw the football down the field. Correct. Why would wide receivers want to play with him?
Correct.
This is, again, you just not going to wait for him to develop, Cap. He's telling you now that he's no good. Now he's telling you.
Yeah, and I don't understand why. Why? Tell me why.
Because he's seen the last three games and said, boy, he's scoring a lot of points, but he can't get it done in the fourth quarter. That's what he's thinking. But, I mean,
okay.
But again, like if we're have the same conversation a year from now, 2 years from now, then, you know, McCoy will be right.
If he's surrounded by talent and he's the weak link, I'm with you.
Absolutely.
I'm with you.
Yep.
I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't.
If that's the case, Cap, if he does have talent and this and the Bears can't be a perennial playoff team or be good, then he's Kyler Murray. Sorry.
Or Dak.
Sorry.
Those guys haven't won anything.
Jake Cantu's right over your shoulder. You don't want to hear. He doesn't want to hear that about his Cowboys.
I think his Cowboys have a chance to have a good finish to their season. I do. Despite the fact that they whizzed down their leg in Green Bay.
They always choke.
I'll tell you what. I think they have a chance to go in and upset the Vikings this week in Minnesota.
Could be. If their coach has the big mustard jacket on.
It's nice and dry. It's cool. I mean, it's warm there. It's not cool like it was at Green Bay. And he doesn't have the sideshow of going back to Green Bay.
All right, let's go to the phone lines to talk to you. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. You heard from Shady McCoy on FS1. What do you think? To the phone lines we go. We say hello to Patrick in Schaumburg on ESPN 1000 with Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Pat.
Patty Pat, what's up?
Hey, guys, how are you?
How are you?
We're good, Patrick.
So I agree with LeSean McCoy. I think he's right. Justin Fields is the worst passing quarterback in the NFL right now. If you look at all the statistics, fumbles, interceptions, sacks, yardage, he's middle of the road in quarterback rating, but everything else has him bottom of the barrel. And he's the best running quarterback easily, but that's not going to be sustainable. He's going to get injured. He's going to lose a step in 2-3 years, and defenses are going to catch up to him. So if he doesn't turn it around on the passing side of things, then it didn't work out.
Yeah, Patrick, I just said, like, if he's the same way with weapons, and I said he'll be Kyler Murray, that wasn't a compliment. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he's not growing the position, that's tough. Hold on a second. Mike in Bolingbrook is with us on ESPN 1000. Mike, you heard what Patrick said. What do you think?
Guys, yeah, let me just go in on this caller before me.
Uh-oh.
The key word here is average. So LeSean McCoy was an average running back with a good offensive line. So he thinks that he can just start off by naming Herbert, Montgomery, which are tradable, average players. Justin Fields is hitting Cole Kmet in the end zone, making him look pretty good. He had a bad game in the weather, but that's about it. I feel like he's progressing, and McCoy's whole shot is that he's a running back and he's not doing it well. So the whole thing is that we can't forget about the offensive line here too, so he's not running for his life. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. By the way, QBR, Justin is 11th in the National Football League. QBR.
Mm-hmm.
With no line, no receivers.
Yes.
So Patrick's incorrect. Some of the stats back him up.
Mm-hmm.
No line, no receivers. Darnell Mooney. I'll give you Darnell Mooney. Beyond that, what has he had?
Right.
In the wide receiver room.
Right.
Cole Kmet the last couple weeks has been better.
The offense has a long way to go with Justin Fields running it. He's got a long way to go.
Correct.
No excuses, but there are reasons. The reasons are is that when you look at this football team, we told you since the summer that we saw this depth chart develop, and Cap and I looked at it and said, you compare the Bears to other upper echelon teams, the NFC, for instance, and we've gone through those teams before, that the Bears fall short with talent. fall way short with talent. Offensive line, wide receiver, weapons, even the quarterback because he's young. Luke Getsy, young. The head coach, young and new to the position. So all of this is them learning all at the same time.
And by the way, for those of you out there that are sending me stats, he's been sacked more than anyone in the league.
Yeah.
36 sacks, 30 for Joe Burrow. No one else in the 30s. A. B. He gets pressured more, and it's not close, more than any quarterback in the National Football League. He is hit or under pressure.
Some of that's on the offensive line. Some of that's on him as well.
No question.
Because we've already documented how long he holds the ball. But again, this is what I'm talking about. This is why I'm drawing a line right here by saying that, yeah, all those things are true. The hope is that it's not like that a year from now or 2 years from now because, I don't know, he's a young quarterback. Don't have Super Bowl aspirations for a kid that just got into the position of being a starting quarterback in this league.
Agreed.
That's all I'm saying. Agreed. That's why I'm drawing the line. Like, if you're saying today Justin Fields sucks, then you know what? Have that opinion. I won't have that opinion because I'm not doing that with a guy that just got the job.
Agreed. You know, I'm with you 100%.
Watch the rest of the team. It's more than Justin Fields.
100%.
Well, how that leaky-ass defense they have, too, where Brisker and Gordon are also learning on the job. All this is happening with this Bears team. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number.
Yes, can you ring a room, Rex Ryan, for me, please? Oh, I'm sorry. My mic was on.
Would you please turn it down, for God's sake?
Get him on.
Oh, my God. And Randy knows you start with the last name first. Yeah. All right, coming up, we take one of your phone calls on the Chicago Bears and LeSean
Ryan
McCoy.
Rex, please.
Do you believe what LeSean McCoy said is true?
Send more of those DoubleTree cookies to Randy.
That's coming up next on Cap and J Hood.